GA Pastor Dave and Linda. We've known them since seminary days, and we used to go out and double date a lot, and just really have enjoyed Dave and Linda and the ministry that they have. Today, I would like to address a subject about God's grace. How many have ever known anybody named Grace? Aunt Gracie? Yeah. Well, this isn't a person. This is God's favor shown to us in different times of need. And today I'd like for us to talk about God's grace in the times of grief. You know, grief is common to all men. We grieve over material and financial losses. Have you ever lost something and really grieved over it? Maybe you wrecked your car, and it was your pride and joy, and now, oh, you grieve over that. Or maybe you lost a loved one. That brings grief for sure, doesn't it? Somebody that you love. Today we heard about a father's friend named Mike, and how his unexpected passing has brought grief to the family. We always grieve over those who have passed away before us. How many here know your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents? How many know your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- You know something about Adam and Eve? And all the people since then, until just the ones just ahead of us, they've all died. It's appointed in a man once to die. People die. It's part of life. How many of you have ever come close to death? Maybe an accident? You've almost died? I grew up in Boulder. One time I was climbing the Flatirons and I slipped and started falling down, and I turned around and was hitting and looking at it, falling on my hind end like this and trying to catch some place to stop, because I knew at the end of the cliff, at the end of the rocks, was a long fall straight down into the rocks that had fallen and crumbled over the years from water and ice and stuff pulling up rocks. And there's a rock pile at the bottom of the Flatirons. I didn't want to land on those rocks and be killed. I wasn't killed. I escaped. I found a crevice to catch myself in and didn't die. Another time when I was 18 years old, seeking God's will, just dedicated my life to the Lord, surrendered, said, God, whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, I will do your will. And one day, in that period of time, and just after that, I got so sick, I thought I might die. God, I just dedicated my life to you. What do you want from me? I read about a hospice patient who was very near death, decided to refuse to eat any more food. She said she wanted to just die. The following day, she announced her intention to die again. And again, the day passed and she didn't pass away. This went on for several days. Then one day she arose from her bed and she joined the rest of her family at the breakfast table. The amazed family members wanted to know, how come you're joining us for breakfast after so many days of not eating? The frail elderly lady turned and answered, so who wants to die on an empty stomach? Well, you know, we're all going to die one way or another. Whether we have a full stomach, an empty stomach off of a cliff, on the highways, or wherever, of old age, of something, we're going to die. I used to raise animals, lots of animals. Many of those animals I grew to love, and they all died. Eventually, my pets died. We were talking about the oldest living things upon planet Earth, the sequoia trees in the northern parts of California. Some of them are over 3,000 years old. That's the longest of any living organism that's known on Earth. But they die too. Humorous story of somebody named Ikayu. As the story goes, Ikayu was very clever as a boy. His teacher had a precious teak cup, a rare antique. Ikayu happened to break this cup and was greatly perplexed. Hearing the footsteps of his teacher, he held the pieces of the cup behind him. And when the master appeared, Ikayu asked, "Master, why do people have to die?" And the elderly man said, "Well, that is natural. Everything has to die and has just so long to live." Ikayu, then stepping out, presented the cup and said, "It was time for your cup to die." Well, everything does have to die. Things get old. Animals get old. Plants get old. People get old. And sometimes even before they get old, they die. As we were driving out of our driveway to come here today, we noticed a tree that we had planted. And I said, "Do you think it's going to survive?" And my wife said, "No, I think it's dead. We just planted it this spring." Death is the natural end for all of this present creation. Many of us today have suffered the loss of someone. I remember Dave and Linda meeting us at the hospital when we were much younger. Had two children, twins, Paul and Josh, famous Old Testament character and New Testament character. And there at the hospital, at University Hospital, Josh, the healthy one, got a bacterial infection of the colon. They cut out the colon and attached it together. That wasn't enough. They had to do it again. And the second surgery, they brought Josh to us. And they said, "We're sorry." They handed him to us. And we held Josh in our hands, in our arms, until Josh died. It was only a matter of minutes, really. Such a heartbreak. Paul, the one that wasn't going to live, the one that if he did live might be a vegetable, mentally retarded, handicapped, he survived. The healthy one, he didn't. Excellent Sunday school lesson today. Why does all this happen? Sometimes it's past our finding out. God knows. God has reasons. We have to just believe. Last January of this year, the healthy son of the twins, Paul, went out and helped us move a bed for somebody who had just had hip replacement surgery, and he always loved to serve and to help people. Paul helped me move a bed for somebody. We came home. Donita and I decided to go out to Costco to get some groceries. The rest of the kids that were home decided to go out shopping themselves. And Paul, both cases, decided to stay home. He loved to read. He was home reading, we thought. Another sister came home from the airport where she worked and came into the kitchen, got something to drink, went into the bedroom where Paul was, looked out his window to see somebody moving through the window in the next door, and then looked at Paul, horrified. She called on one phone, 911, and called on the other phone, me, on my cell phone, and she just was sobbing. And all she could say is, "Paul's dead! Paul's dead!"
I rushed home as fast as we could because we were almost home already, about 3 miles away. And we drove as fast as we could to get home in case we could revive him. But he'd been dead too long. We had to deal with that. His sister had to deal with that. All of his brothers and sisters, we had 8 live kids, 7 of them are still dealing with it. God gives grace in times of grief. A little longer introduction. We're going to dive into some scriptures now, and I want us to realize that there's a lot of scriptures where the word grace, God's grace, has to deal with people who have fallen asleep or who are dead. Some churches do what's called responsive reading. We here at Fellowship Bible Church are going to do responsive reading today because I've got a bunch of passages I want us to look at, and then we're going to take some thoughts from all of them and put them together today. And so, you've been sitting for a while. Those of you that can, would like to, why don't you go ahead and stand, and I will read what's in red, and have you read what's in black. What's in purple is the reference. We won't read the references, okay? So I'll read red, you read black, okay? But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains.
For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Is it not black now? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor,
he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God,
to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn Zion,
to give them beauty for ashes,
the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of vengeance,
that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. For your word has given me life. For he cares for you. O Hades, where is your victory? And the strength of sin is the law. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, didn't exactly have that one together, did we? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
I will strengthen you. Yes, I will strengthen you. I will uphold your right hand.
So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. We are confident.
Yes, well,
and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon these scriptures and some others as we look at the subject of your grace extended to us in times of grief, particularly in the loss of loved ones or loss of other things in life. Help us, Lord, to learn to receive your grace as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Well, God does enable us with the grace we need to deal with grief of whatever sort it is, whether it's the loss of loved ones or unfulfilled expectations, desires that we have and they don't happen. We can get really discouraged. Some people can get really down, even depressed. We should consider that God himself grieves over things. God was extremely grieved at mankind's state of sinfulness in the times of Noah. Remember there in Genesis 6 where God was so upset with the world and the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man that I have created from the face of the earth. There was a sense of which God had sorrow, grief. Now, we are made in the image of God. There's some way in which we do things, feel things, think things in similar ways to God, and yet we cannot pull ourselves up to think that we're God, nor can we pull God down to say he's like us. But we do see that he was grieved. Jesus wept. Shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept over the death of his good friend Lazarus. His sisters had come to him and said, the one that you love is sick. Jesus came to him and when Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, that's kind of presumptuous. Maybe so, maybe not. God, how can we presume on what the future is? But Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews that came with her weeping, and he groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. He says, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Sometimes I wonder, did he weep because of Lazarus or did he weep because of the people? I suspect more because of the sorrow of others. He felt with them. God feels with us when we feel grief, when we sorrow. Jesus wept also at his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, knowing Israel's rejection and coming judgment. As he drew near the city, he wept over it. We grieve God, the Holy Spirit, every time we sin. So Jesus was grieved when he was on earth. God was grieved over the whole earth. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. Scripture tells us to not grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4. We grieve God. Do we care about... You know, we're so thinking of how we feel, we fail to think about how God feels. When we sin, it hurts God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grieve my kids or when I grieve my wife, I feel bad about it. I ought to be considering every day, every hour, every moment of every day, how does God feel about what I'm doing, what I'm saying, where I'm going, how I'm driving, everything I do. How does God feel about it? We must accept that death is grievous to people. Death causes a sting, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Death causes sorrow, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Death and sorrow go together. Loss causes people to mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted, though. Loss causes people to need comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they, what? Comfort me. We need comfort from God. And incidentally, we need comfort from one another as well. We should look beyond the present. When we lose something, we are so here and now, and I've lost it today, minded, that we forget about the future. When we got to the house and realized our son was gone, my wife and I immediately went into the role of, where is he? To be absent from the body is what? We had to comfort our kids, especially the daughter who came and found Paul dead. Ambulance people got there shortly after we did. They were concerned for us. We were concerned for them. They called the police came. Coroner came from Weld County. Took a while. Grief counselors came. We felt like, though we missed our son and we've cried much since his loss, that we were in a place responsible to understand he's in a better place. He's in heaven. Our job is to rejoice in all things, making ourselves, not say we're glad he's dead, but glad he's in heaven. We miss him, but we know where he's at. We don't mourn as those who have no hope, because we're looking to the future. I have said many times since my son's homegoing, I look more forward to dying and going to heaven now than I did before. Recognize that believers all immediately go into God's presence at death. 1 Thessalonians 4, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. We're going to go with Jesus someday to be with those who have fallen asleep ahead of us. Well, this verse tells us that some people are ignorant concerning life after death. Christians should have hope in contrast to non-Christians. God's word on this matter says, if we believe, even so God will. It's God's word. God says it. It's declared. It's certain. Death frequently is described as having fallen asleep. So we looked at our son there on the bed. It looked like he was asleep in some ways. After the mortuary people came and took him and prepared his body so he could be taken in a casket and buried next to his young brother Josh. Our family cemetery, we started with Josh's burial up in the mountains of north of Craig. We think in that casket, as those who cared to looked, he looks like he's asleep. Even back in the days of the apostles writing the New Testament, they described those who have fallen asleep. Yes, we're confident, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says. Do you believe that? Well pleased rather to be absent from the body Do you look forward to death, to be with the Lord? Or are you more concerned about being with people here on earth and doing things and having things on earth? You're more pleased with what you're comfortable with, what you know, instead of what you know from God's Word will be in the future. We should be looking beyond the present to the future, even to being with the Lord. Being dead is having the soul, the immaterial part of a human being, come out of the body, to separate from the body. Death is when it means separation. It's the separation of the soul out of the body. We believers can be confident and even prefer to be dead, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no implication, no scriptural basis for believing that people today go to some intermediary place. There is a religion that believes in a place that you die and go to, you know what it's called. They call it purgatory. Is that in the Bible? And then someday you'll come back out of it and be judged whether you go to heaven or to hell. No way. To be absent from the body is, for a Christian, to be present with the Lord. Let's make that very clear. Unbelievers do not have this confidence and this preference concerning death. And the reason is because their soul, when it leaves the body, doesn't go to be in the presence of the Lord. It goes to the other place. We could talk more about that, but we don't have time. Believers look to God for comfort, for faith, and for strength to go forward beyond our sorrows in life. God wants to give us that comfort, that faith, that strength, that encouragement to keep on going. We get that grace from God. We need to sense God's presence. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, he said. We need God for protection. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and they shall not overflow you. You shall not be burned. God wants to protect us. We need God for comfort. The Lord has comforted his people, and he'll have mercy on his afflicted. Yes, for whatever reasons, like we discussed in Sunday school today or heard in Sunday school, God allows sickness. He allows bad things to happen. But God wants to be there to comfort us through those times. You know, if we didn't have hard times, if we didn't have losses, how would we look to God for comfort? How would he be able to fulfill his desire to show comfort and love and mercy? Grace in so many different ways. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God Father, who loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and every good work. So people who mourn can be comforted. God is the God, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians. Psalm 23, we know so well, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So God wants to comfort us. He's the God of comfort. We need to look to God for comfort. He wants to show it to us. And we need God for hope. May the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father have loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. God gives us hope, gives us reason to live. Sometimes people, they lose things, they are so overwhelmed with grief, they just want to give up and die. Instead of having hope, a reason to look forward to things ahead. God wants to give us hope. God is the God of grace. Good hope by grace. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace when we have needs, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. God wants us coming to Him. You know, if we didn't have needs, if Mike hadn't died, we wouldn't have prayed today for Patty and for people with him. God wants us to come to the throne of grace to help meet people's needs in times of grief, times of loss. How sad it is that we have to lose things in order to sometimes come closer to God. We need God for mercy. The Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy on His afflicted. Blessed is God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. See that in Isaiah, we see it in Corinthians, we see it in Hebrews, that we come to the throne of grace, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. I urge you to be always coming to the Lord. We heard a testimony today of someone saying, I need to be more faithful in having personal devotion time, time in the Word. You know, we need to have time in the Word and we need to have time at the throne of prayer. Maybe some of us should be convicted today with the testimony and with the need to come to God with devotions every day. A time of opening up the Word of God and letting God speak to us. And we also need to be convicted about coming to that same God in prayer time. Because He wants to hear from us. He wants that fellowship. That fellowship of God talking to man and man talking to God that was lost with sin in the Garden of Eden. To some degree, God wants us to have it as Christians still today. And one day we'll be with Him in heaven. But till then, we need to be hearing from God and God needs to be hearing from us. Yes? On a daily, even more than once a day basis. We need God for help to continue in our good words and our good works. If you're taking notes there, you looked at that one and thought, what's the difference in those two words? May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace and comfort, may He comfort your hearts, establish you in two areas, in every good word and in every good work. Now, if you've been saved, you've been saved unto good works. We got that part. We're to do for God. We're to live for God. We're not saved by works, are we? We don't get to go to heaven because of our good works. God saved us by His grace when we were sinners. I'm still a sinner. Still saved, but saved by His grace. But I've been saved unto good works. I'm to get out and work for the Lord. Saved unto good works. But also good words. How I use my mouth, my tongue. Oh, it can be used for evil. God wants me to use my words to glorify God, to edify other people, to bring people to the knowledge of the truth of Christ. God wants me to use my works, my life, what I do, and my words, what I say, for His glory. May God help us to continue in good words and good works. As it's in context here, to God wanting to give us comfort and consolation and grace and mercy to keep on going in this world, in spite of the grief that could get us down if we let it. You know, your getting down is your choice. God commands you to not let grief put you down. To rejoice anyway, and to recognize by faith that God has plans for you, reasons for you on earth, hope for you, use for you with your works and your words. We need God's help to comfort and minister to others. One work which God expects of us who have suffered in the past is that we in turn allow God to use us to comfort others who are in any trouble. Comfort people who are in trouble. God who comforts us in all of our tribulation so that we may be able to comfort those other people around us that are in trouble, any trouble, with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God allows things that are grievous so that we can have a better platform by which to comfort and encourage others. We're to preach and to minister and to comfort and to console other people. Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3. We're going to pass that verse. We're running out of time. But we are to minister, to comfort, to console other people. We need God's word to help us live through afflictions that come in life. Not only to help others, but because God has helped us in the past, as more things come in the future, we're able to deal with it better in the future. To help us live through afflictions that come in life. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. We should find the word of God to be the motor oil, the gasoline, the fuel that keeps us going. Your word has given me life. We need Christ's example to inspire us to live righteously through all of our temptations. Scripture says there in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We were talking today with somebody how God emptied himself, came down, became a man, and sympathizes with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What's the conclusion? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's obtain that mercy and find grace to help in times of need. We've got Jesus himself as an example. We need God to hear our prayers. We already talked about coming to the throne of grace. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares, and he wants you to come to him and cast your cares before him. He'll sympathize. He'll listen. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize. Saying it kind of a negative. The positive way of saying it is, we have a high priest who can sympathize and does sympathize and wants to help us. So let's come before him boldly at that throne of grace. We need God to receive our thanks, our appreciation. When we go through things grievous, we are to be able to come through it and get through it and say, God, thank you for getting me through those rough roads. Thank you for getting me through those emotions. Thank you for getting me through those losses, whether it be health or finances or whatever. God, thank you for getting me through it. To rejoice and give thanks and give God praise. Oh, death, where's your sting? Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Notice how it goes on. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He doesn't stay and wallow in his in the sting and discomfort of loss. No, thanks be to God who gives us victory. Are we losers or are we winners? We're winners, folks, if you're a Christian. We need God to help us conquer our fears. Fear not, I'm with you. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We need to trust God to fulfill his promises and work out a glorious future. A glorious future is ahead of us. We need to recognize that death is inevitable. Death is part of God's plan for almost everyone. The only ones who aren't going to die is when Jesus Christ comes back, takes us with him at the rapture. Some of us will go then, those of us who are Christians. But other than that, it's appointed and a man wants to die. Now, people don't normally want to die. Some fear death. Some generally recognize that someday they will die. People do generally recognize that. They want to deny it. They want to forget it. They don't want to think about it. Some people die unexpectedly. We certainly didn't expect to come into our room and find Paul dead, our son. A total shocker. 36 years old. Some people die prepared for death. Before we dismiss today, I'm concerned. I ask you the question, how are you going to die? Are you going to die with readiness, expectation to be in the presence of God? How do you apply this message? Are you ready to die? You ready to go to be with the Lord? If you have at some point in your life, if you can look back and say, there was a time when I trusted Jesus Christ who came and died on that cross to die for sin. Not his. Mine. Yours. Jesus died for your sin. He died as your substitute. He died to pay, to redeem you. Pay for your sin. Have you someday in the past come to the point of recognizing that need to accept Jesus by faith, trusting Him? If you have, you were born into God's family. You became a believer. You became a Christian. That was by grace. For by grace we're saved through faith. From that, not of ourselves. It's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. You got saved by God convincing you that you needed to accept Christ as Savior. If you have not come to that point in life, I'm sure there's many people here who would love to open up more of God's Word to show you the verses that demand your accepting Christ by faith. His death on the cross in your place. Are you ready to die? Are you trusting God for the future? Certainly for the eternal future. How about even the daily future, the rest of your life? Are you trusting God for what's coming in the rest of your life? Some of you look like some of you are of age like myself. We're starting to have health issues. I'm starting to have back pains. I'm starting to forget things. I'm starting to feel the pains of age. Makes me wonder about my future. What more can I do for the Lord? How much more time do I have left? I need to, by faith, know that God's in charge of that. I can trust God for the future. Do you pray and look to God for His grace to help you through your times of grief and disappointment? Do you recognize, just summing up, that God can give you faith and hope and comfort and strength and mercy and abilities to take whatever God allows in your path? Everything you need to go through times of grief, God's there for you. Do you believe it? If so, say amen. God is there for us in times of grief. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I rejoice in Your being there for us when we go through grief. Whether it's the sorrows of death, the sorrows of health being lost, wealth being lost, whether it be our possessions, people close to us. Sometimes we feel ripped apart, shredded, because we wanted to keep something and we lost it. But Lord, we can never lose You. You don't lose us. You sympathize, You feel, You grieve for us, especially when we sin. You grieve with us when we hurt and when we suffer losses and when we need comfort. You're there. You're there to help and encourage and strengthen us and give us hope and give us faith and even more faith as we pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to believe more. Help me to trust You better. God, help us all to see You're the God that experienced grief, experiences it still now, and that You are fully equipped to help us through the grief in life we go through. Help us to rely upon You, to find Your grace in times of need, times of sorrow, times of loss. And may we be victorious. May we be strengthened and moved forward to get up and keep going and never to lay down and to yield and say, I quit. Lord, may we be faithful to the end, approved workmen, doing what You want always. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I forgot to ask if you're acquainted to having invitations or not. Let's just put it this way. Knowing Dave and knowing what a strong Bible teacher he is, I suspect that most people who come to this church already know the Lord. And I can tell that you are more mature in faith and in living than most churches. Praise the Lord for that. But if there is somebody who struggles in any way, I'm certainly available, and certainly anyone among yourselves is available to go to them after the service and say, I want some encouragement. I want some help. I want some admonition. I need some way to be accountable. This was the word used today. I want accountability. I want prayer. Go to one another, and let's move forward for God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So are you?